Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins. It's good to be with you again. Thank you for tuning in. And as always, please visit our sponsors and tell them you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call. We got a special show today. We've got Representative Keith Kidwell on the line, and he's going to talk to us about legislation he's got going on. We're going to have Rainer run down the list. Do you want to do that again, run down the list?
Sure. Keith has introduced a passel of bills in this General Assembly session, and I think you can tell from the title of some of them what sorts of things he's been up to and is up to. One of them is concealed carry in the General Assembly. Another is Property Protection Act, rescind calls for constitutional convention, Second Amendment Preservation Act, NC Constitutional Carry Act, Emergency Powers Management for Beaufort, Craven, and Onslow, Constitutional Amendment for Concealed Carry, Protect Voting Systems from Foreign Interference, Emergency Powers Accountability Act, Restoration of Law and Order Act, Repeal Certificate of Need Laws, Home Education Tax Credits, Digital Interference Censorship Act, Born Alive Abortion Survivors Act, Repeal Renewable Energy Portfolio Standard, Prohibit Mandatory COVID-19 Vaccinations, Repeal Pistol Permit, Repeal Pistol Purchase Permit Requirement, Executive Order Limitations, and it goes on and on. With things that protect our freedoms and allow us to protect ourselves and allow us to do our own thing. It's the sorts of things we are looking for from the General Assembly, and I'd venture to say there isn't anybody else up there who has done more of this type work than has Keith.
Yeah, he sounds like he's been a busy representative up there representing the 79th District. And he also picked up part of the 3rd District, which is Craven County. And Keith, it doesn't sound, you know, those bills all sound to be very conservative. Doesn't sound like you're trying to work across the aisle too hard.
Well, I do try to reach across the aisle, Rick, because Democrats who are interested in working with us. But unfortunately, and I had one of them that talked to us about the pistol purchase permit repeal. The person is themselves a concealed carry permit holder, but came back to me after considering it for a week and told me that they would not be able to work with us on that bill because if she did, she would lose her seat. And I just find it interesting that the Democrats have to sit there and worry about their party throwing them out for doing the right thing. You know, as a Republican, I never have that kind of concern that I'm always going to run the bill that is the right thing. I'm up here doing exactly what the people of the 79th District sent me here to do, and that is evidenced by the number of emails I get in support of my efforts, and also that the fact that I'm considered one of the most controversial members of the House of Representatives because I'm always willing to run the bills that take the heat. Interestingly enough, I was approached by the Lieutenant Governor to work with him on an effort dealing with the critical race education system they're trying to impose.
That's wonderful.
And he and I are going to get together on that next week and see what we can do as a joint effort. And the leadership of the House came to me today and has asked me to take lead on some anti-vaccine legislation that would not have the government mandate that you have to have a vaccine in any way, shape, or form. So, some other things that I've done is looking at dealing with overreach by the federal government. I was asked to run legislation on that. Obviously, I was also the one they asked to run the bill, which it was my legislation already, but they put it out to the forefront, which was the reeling in the governor's overreach with House Bill 264 And just yesterday, I introduced legislation. It is one of my most recent works. Let me give you the title and number on that one. It's the House Bill 706. It is a constitutional amendment called the Realigning Emergency Checks and Balances Act. So what this would do is have the people vote, because it's required for them to do so. But what the bill seeks to do is, one, limit the governor's emergency powers to very definitely be confined to having to have the consensus of the Council of State, but then also that the General Assembly, under a statewide declaration of a state of emergency, is automatically reconvened so that we are here making the laws and dealing with the emergencies, not leaving that at the really undesirable position, I would think, even from the governor's position, of being the only person dealing with an emergency. I personally wouldn't want that much burden placed upon me as an individual. I would rather have as many smart folks out there helping me as possible. But the governor so far has not really seeked anybody's advice. It's interesting that in his State of the State address this week, he stood up there and talked about all these wonderful things that we had accomplished. And in the meantime, I'm thinking, okay, that's the stuff we accomplished in the General Assembly that he really didn't want part of, but we forced his feet to the fire on many of these issues, like reopening the schools. He definitely did not want to do that, but when he found out that the vast majority of the citizens did, he caved in and we renegotiated and got a bill passed. Our only concession is we gave him another 7 days to what the schools had to reopen, so it went from 15 to 21 days. But anyway, so lots of things happening up here in Raleigh. It's never a boring day, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure, especially for you.
Hey, Keith, on behalf of CCTA, I visit a lot of small private businesses, and that includes medical practices. And I heard you mention a certificate of need. And I've looked into that quite extensively on several occasions, and I feel that it's an abomination, I guess is the best way I can put it, to do that to the small practice business, medical practices. And I'd like for you to comment on that, if you would, please.
So, Hal, that's very interesting. The certificate of need was actually put in place by the federal government many years ago, and the federal government ended up repealing certificate of need because they said it didn't work. It had undesired effects. And so what certificate of need is, for those that don't know, is you have to get permission to open new medical facilities or to do certain procedures within medical facilities. So I'll give you an example. One of I have actually two, and there's a third that I just signed on to today, an additional certificate of need repeal. So the example being the eye doctor that I go to in Beaufort County told me that he could do certain surgeries in office at a cost to the patient of about $800. But because of certificate of need laws, he must go use a suite at the hospital, and that the price goes from $800 to over $8,000.
We have the same thing right here in Craven County. That's what I objected to very strongly.
Right. So why is it that we have to apply to a state board, and there's an investigation and there's testimony, which the testimony is always going to be that the hospital says, oh, this will destroy our hospital if you do this. And, that's just not fair competition. I don't get in my business to have the state tell me, we're not going to let any competition open up against your tax business, Keith. We're going to let you have a corner on the market, because if we don't, it might destroy your business.
And, okay? Keith, there's another element of it, too, if I understand things correctly. This is in your bailiwick. But the hospitals are tax-exempt, and your business pays taxes.
Well, that's true, yeah. So, and the eye doctors and so on are going to pay taxes as well. The hospitals are, by and large, tax-exempt nonprofit entities, so they're not generating income to the state of North Carolina either. So, these are the things that we need to look at. America is supposed to be a free enterprise system, and the con laws are not free enterprise.
Amen.
They are giving a corner on the market to people that, and my one of my bills is just common sense. Drug treatment facilities, kidney treatment facilities, psychiatric centers, and eye doctors. Now, who can argue that we have people that drug use and abuse in this country is at an epidemic level, higher than it's probably ever been in the history of the country. And we're limiting where and when people can get access. Many of these drug issues create psychotic episodes. These people need psychiatric treatment, drug treatment, and they're very likely damaging their kidneys. So it's all kind of tied together. And we're sitting here, the left will tell me, well, you know, we want to have more of these things available, but then we have these town laws in place that restrict that. So it just doesn't even make sense.
Hey, Keith, there's one more aspect of it I'd like to point out is if they buy certain pieces of equipment, x-ray equipment, things like that, they have to contend with the certificate of need. The hospital may have all of it or allowed it to have.
So, Hal, the interesting thing when I did my research on this, North Carolina has the second highest number of con laws in the nation. We are second only to Hawaii. Okay?
Now, that's not in good company, are we?
No, come on, guys. You know, this is absolutely ridiculous. And the interesting thing, federal government repealed it because they said it didn't work. And many, many states have repealed con laws because they found they didn't work well, that it restricted free trade. But here in North Carolina, we're like, well, we must be different than the other states because somehow we have to still have these laws in effect. No, we don't. But let's just do the right thing, repeal these laws, and let the free market economy dictate how business is going to be run.
You know, Keith, this is Bob Griswold. I also understand that, let's say, the hospitals are buying up the, quote, certificates. That doesn't mean that they have to outfit those rooms. They are just preventing other people from outfitting something. Is that
correct? And that's interesting that you say that, Bob, because one of the bills that's coming out of the Senate in reference to con laws, they're looking at doing what they're calling con repeal light, which is going to say if you have a certificate that you must utilize it within a year, and if you don't, because what they'll do is they'll actually buy the certificate, get the certificate, and then just not use it, which is further restricting free trade. So not only do they have the corner on the market, they're boxing out everybody else.
Yep. Sounds like that. Well, Keith, you've been very busy working on a lot of good legislation there, and we do appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we want to get into election integrity, if you don't mind.
That'd be great.
All right. We're going to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back with Representative Keith Kidwell.
Who's that guy?
Yeah, he's incognito. And also Major Dave Getz to talk about election integrity. Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern. To enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, again, on the phone, we have Major Dave Getz and we have Representative Keith Kidwell. And Keith has been working on a lot of legislation, but one thing that is very important out there right now that's garnering the attention of the public, and that's election integrity. And Major Dave Getz has spent a lot of time over a number of elections now gathering data. And the way he does it is he goes to the State Board of Elections website, he downloads their files. He does it on a daily basis. So tomorrow when they upload it, overwrites the old file. He still has a copy of the old file because he downloads it every day and he stores it by the date that he downloads it. So he can see the differences from day one to day 50 or day 100 or whatever as changes are being made to those files. And you wouldn't think changes were being made this late in the game. But Major Dave, tell us what you've been finding.
Well, I want to tell you that for some unexplained reason, on February 3rd, so we're talking about 4 months after the election and a good 60 days after the results were certified, Pitt County and Stokes County were both allowed to make amended uploads to their election data. And strangely, the public information officer for the State Board of Elections sent me an email. And he said that in order to prevent further spread of misinformation on social media, we want you to understand that these updates did not change the outcome of the election.
Wow.
Well, the problem is we can't know whether they changed it or not because none of the data files have been updated. The absentee file, the by-mail data, the provisional ballot data, the one-stop early voting data, none of that has been updated to show what was changed.
Right. Well, we've got...
we don't know why.
We've got Representative Keith Kidwell on the line also, and I understand you're on the way back from Raleigh where you met with the legislatures today to talk about the election integrity and the data that you've accumulated. So how did that go?
Well, first, I want to extend my extreme gratitude to Representative Kidwell for extending the invitation as the chair of the House Freedom Caucus. I was invited to come down and share with those, I think there are 30-some members now. We probably had 18 or so in the room, to actually show them the real data that's led me to my conclusions that the data is being manipulated. And better than me telling you, because I've told your audience in the past, if we could get Representative Kidwell to give you his impression of what was accomplished today.
Well, Dave, first, thank you very much for making the trek up here. It makes for a very long day. Believe me, I'm more than familiar with it. We were very impressed. The Freedom Caucus was very impressed by Dave's presentation. And several members, in fact, that have seen it on Facebook said, you know, it's hard to understand on Facebook, but with the plats that Dave brought with him today, I think there was 12 or so pages of just unbelievable amounts of information showing very detailed changes in files at various times after and during the canvas that were unexplained. And so it
David, the good news is you got a lot of traction in there today. As you well know, we voted to take this information to the Elections Committee, the House Elections Committee. I spoke with leadership this afternoon. Matter of fact, the last meeting I had today after session was with one of the leaders of the House who has indicated a great interest in pursuing a House investigation into this. So the desired effect was had, and I think we're going to see some progress on this in the near future.
Well, that's good news.
It is. Very good. You know, I've always been impressed, Keith, with Major Dave's ability to gather the data. But not only that, but with his ability to recall it. How he keeps all those numbers straight in his mind, I don't know. But he's done a real good job.
Dave, I want to tell you, if you want to move up to Beaufort County, I could probably use you in my business.
Job offer right here on the radio.
I'll finally retire for good.
Oh, you're retired. But, yeah, it was impressive to see what he was able to put together. And I'm glad we were able to offer the Freedom Caucus as a venue with as many members as we do have. It's spread this information now all across the House in a very understandable format, and it's irrefutable. I mean, the evidence is there. So, you know, not only do we need to look at what happened in 2020, all of you know that even though there's anomalies in there, I don't know if any of these, Dave, and I think you would agree, we don't know if any of this would have changed the outcome of the election. Even if it did, there's nothing to be done about that. Now, here's the important thing. We need to make absolutely sure that every North Carolinian's vote is counted correctly, and that the people of this state understand that their vote is treated by the Board of Elections, the General Assembly, as exactly what it is, one of the most sacred pieces of property, I'll call it, that we own as American citizens is our vote.
Absolutely.
Every person who has fought in every battle that we have fought has fought to preserve our rights as a republic to cast our ballots and to freely elect the people that we choose to represent us at every level of government. It is a sacred honor. It's a sacred thing that we own, and it's the General Assembly's job to make sure that that is protected to its utmost. Now, I can tell you the General Assembly's general attitude of this is we understand that. They understand that. Leadership understands that. But I think, Dave, bringing this data and showing where there's flaws in how it's handled at the Board of Elections, and I'm not, you know, I don't even know if anybody's doing anything wrong. Here's what I know. The numbers change. We need to find out why the numbers change. Now, it might be some logical explanation. Show me that. You know, I'm a numbers guy. I get it. I understand if you need to figure a new way, but we got to know that ultimately we're not sitting here manipulating elections. And here's what I think happens. When Dave does his investigation, it raises doubt.
Right.
Yes.
Because 2 + 2 always equals 4. And at the end of the day, if you came up to 4, when you get up tomorrow morning, it shouldn't be 3 and it shouldn't be 7.
That's right.
It should still be 4. Okay?
And I think that I believe you're looking for this, is ways to make it so that it is impossible to make it come up 3 or 7.
Right.
So that it...
Exactly.
And that's because I have had doubts for some time, strong
guys,
doubts.
My extensive knowledge with the IRS, you could never pull this stuff with the IRS. They'd be all over you.
Right. Well, that's another thing that Dave brings to the table also, is he just doesn't bring the data to expose the problems. He also has solutions, you know, like when the data's uploaded right now, it only goes to one place. There needs to be a separate location where a duplicate set of data mm-hmm. resides. These things may not fix everything, but they'll sure make it more believable for the public.
Well, we the people need to run as tight a ship with our votes as the IRS does with our money.
I think
that's a fact, Rainer. We need to make sure, you know, not only are we responsible, the general public, we are we responsible for the people who get elected. We're responsible to make sure that once they get elected, they're doing what they actually were sent to do. And if they don't, they need to be unelected.
Yes.
In the next election, we need to make sure. I hear so many people say term limits is the answer to everything. You know, term limits doesn't fix people who cast bad ballots.
No, and it doesn't keep people who consistently do good ones.
You know, let's look at it from this perspective. You know, and I'll go out to California because that's probably one of the worst examples of it. You know, you have people in California that elect Nancy Pelosi. Evidently, they like Nancy Pelosi. You know, and you're not going to fix the people electing somebody like Nancy Pelosi by saying, Nancy, you can't come back next year, because they'll elect somebody equally as stupid. That's just the bottom line.
Yep.
Well, now that you brought up California, I think there was some good news out after the census. It looks like California has lost a couple of House seats, and Texas has picked up some, and a couple of other red states are picking up.
North Carolina picked up one.
We got one.
Yep.
Right. We get another seat, so that's awesome.
They had some other good news, too. I think what you were talking about, the overreach, I think they are teaching their governor a lesson. Today, they did get all of the 1.6 million signatures required.
I saw that.
Yeah, great news for them. I'm very pleased with that.
To put that in the lingo of the millennials, oh, snap.
All right, well, Major Dave, I mentioned one solution that you had, and that's having multiple locations to upload the data to. Have you got any others that you might want to throw out there?
Well, I've actually got some news, good news. And Representative Kidwell, we didn't get a chance to talk about this today, but some of the people that I'm associated with approached me about a month ago and said, we have some super PACs that have some money left over from last November, and would you put together a presentation for these to convince them to donate that money, and we'll set up a new 501c3 to actually train people all across the state to do what I do.
Wow.
We need watchdogs out there. Excuse me, because I did the 10 council state races, the federal races, but you've got 120 House races, you've got 50 Senate races, you've got all your county level boards of commissioners, boards of education, town councils, soil and water conservation supervisor. This data changes are not taking place just in the upper tier elections. I'm convinced that in some counties they're so corrupt that basically who gets to be a county commissioner is decided before the first vote's even cast.
Wow.
Now, that's just a supposition on my part.
I have the same supposition.
I think, guys, it was Mooresville, Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken, just after World War II, that the people of the city got tired of their elections being cheated, and they literally stormed the sheriff's department where the ballots were and were being counted and miscounted, quite honestly. They were making the numbers up. And the people literally went to war in that city over this. We do not want to see that anywhere in the United States ever again. And the only way we're going to prevent that is to prove, number one, that the elections are, in fact, rock solid in the counts. And we've got to make sure that the people are confident in that. And I think the General Assembly needs to do whatever it takes. You know, people talk about, well, that could be expensive. Well, it's going to be awful expensive if we don't do it.
Hey, Keith, if we don't do it, we won't have a country.
Keith, I'm real familiar with that story you were talking about, too. And I tell you, having been a National Guard member, when that group of men got together and said, who's got the keys to the armory, man? I got chills up and down my back because I knew they were going for the weapons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, and we don't want to see that happen again, Hal. You know, it's and the problem is, and I think it might have been Jefferson, but I couldn't swear to it, that said the day that the people lose confidence in the ballot box, they'll turn to their ammo box.
Mm-hmm. That's right, that's right. Well, Dave, we appreciate all the information you're sharing with us. I know you're on the highway and driving, so I'm not going to keep you any longer. But thanks for the work you're doing, and thank you for going to Raleigh and meeting with the legislators and getting their assistance on it. And we'll stay in touch with you, and you keep us updated, okay?
Rick, can I possibly beg 2 or 3 more minutes?
Sure. You don't have to beg. Go ahead and take them.
the tone of the communications from the State Board of Elections has been, in general, that I'm wrong for doing what I do because I erode the public's trust and confidence in the State Board of Elections.
But what makes them think we had any in the first place?
True. But when I made my report in 2016, the executive director reached out to me and invited me to come in for a meeting. And when I get there, it's not just her, but she's got her five top deputies at the table, including her lawyer. I pointed out that there were 505 missing lines of over and under vote totals from the results file. Now, an overvote is created if you vote for too many choices. An undervote is created if you vote for too few or you leave it blank. But you need those numbers to reconcile the total votes with the total number of ballots cast. Mm-hmm. And when I exposed that to them, their decision on the spot was not to investigate and determine how and why those lines went missing, but rather to stop making those numbers public at all.
Oh, my gosh.
And in the 15 elections we've held in North Carolina since then, you would not find over and under votes. Now, last year, the legislature responded with House Bill 1169 and mandated that they resume reporting those numbers. Well, they reported them last election, but they didn't report them until January, until after all the doctoring was done. So there's no way to tell if those numbers ever went missing or if they were reassigned, because at a computer terminal, if there's 10 undervotes, you can make that a zero and put those 10 votes in some candidate's pocket and inflate their vote total. That's how easy it is to actually.
Well, you know what, Major? I don't care how bad their feelings get hurt over it. I want you to keep doing what you're doing.
Me too.
Because we need watchdogs like you giving us the true information.
But I just wanted to make that point, because when they say that they want transparency, their actions betray that.
Right. Right.
Well, Dave, I appreciate your work. I appreciate you coming to Raleigh. And an adage that my mother, who is now has four generations of accountants under her, all her fault. One of the things she taught me many years ago is numbers don't lie, people do.
Yeah.
All right, fellas. Again, we got to take a break to hear from our sponsors, and I appreciate you being with us, Major Dave. If you want to drop the line, that's fine. If you want to hang around, that's fine too. But we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers, and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we're talking about election integrity with Major Dave Getz and Representative Keith Kidwell. Keith, what kind of legislation around election integrity is going on now? Is there any bills that's been introduced for that look promising?
Well, so right now the only two that I'm familiar with, I don't serve on the election committee itself, so I don't know what they're working on. I will be having a meeting with them next week to discuss Major Dave's findings and to encourage them to see what we can do to address these issues. I do know personally I've introduced two pieces of legislation. One is the bill that says our machines must be United States-made machines, United States software, United States companies, and not have the ability to be connected to the Internet at all possible on those machines so that they cannot be externally manipulated. The other one that I have is a bill that would take anybody who has failed to exercise due diligence in relation to their job in elections, whether they be paid or voluntary, would not be permitted in the future to work in the elections process. I signed on as a co-sponsor on a bill this week that would take anybody who circumvents the will of the General Assembly. So in other words, if you try to, as an election director, you try to open more hours than what we say you should, or not properly verify signatures and make this your standard operating procedure, you would actually have criminal charges against you for circumventing the will of the General Assembly. Our Constitution is very clear. The General Assembly sets election laws, not elections director at the county or state level, not the federal government. We're the ones that have the prerogative to do that, and we need to make sure that we retain that here in the state of North Carolina. Now, we had in the last election this sue and settle deal that the elections director tried to pull off to change everything about our elections process. Well, the elections director in Raleigh does not have the authority to do that. That's the General Assembly's prerogative.
All right.
So we're going to make that a criminal charge, or trying to. We're hoping to get the support to do that for anybody who usurped the authority of the general election or of the General Assembly. That's not what they're there to do. They're there to carry out the laws that we've written in the manner of which they were intended to be exercised.
And they do need to be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law, however the law turns out to be. I agree with that 100%.
Hey, Keith, Pete Benton, good evening. How are you, my friend?
Hey, Pete, how you doing, buddy?
Great, best to Vicky. And thank you for the great work that you do up there. You're a dynamic leader, but you're fighting the good fight for God and country, and we appreciate that. Have you had the chance to talk to Doug Gould, the cybersecurity expert? He could give you some great insights on how to institutionalize certain safeguards and procedures in the electoral process that would make it an even more honest and forthright process.
No, honestly, I have not, but I'm always interested in hearing from people that can to help us to secure the election process, Pete. I know that you served in the military, and you have a great understanding, and I have a lot of respect for the people that do serve, because they're out there fighting for exactly what you and I are talking about right now
and that's the integrity of our elections. Because if we don't have election integrity, we become nothing more than the nations that we've gone to war with.
Yes.
We've fought so hard against. How can we sit here and tolerate that in our own country? That's just, to me, unfathomable.
Yeah. I'll have Doug give you a call, but he was a cybersecurity expert for AT&T for many years and worked with some of the best minds in the country.
Yeah, you met him when we were up in Raleigh the last trip we took up. I believe he gave
you... As I say, the name sounded familiar, but we've not had an opportunity to sit down and really discuss anything in detail, but... I think we've got the attention through Dave's visit up here today. We've got the attention of a bunch of members, and I think they're now interested in seeing, you know, what can we do to solve this problem as we move forward to totally protect the integrity of our elections, both from foreign or domestic enemies, because this is America.
Yes, right.
This is what our founding fathers designed for us to do. And I'm sure they would be turning in their graves to see this happen.
Yep, they would. Well,
Keith, let me add my 2 cents worth, please. I feel like that Doug's expertise added to Dave's would fill in some gaps that might be in the puzzle of tightening things down so that our elections really are what they're supposed to be.
I'd like to echo that sentiment, too. He's very impressive.
He has plenty of credentials, that's for sure. Well, Keith.
Well, what's pitiful is that we have to have cybersecurity people even look into this. It should be something that the people at the boards of elections, the people at the state, they should just look at this and say, hey, this is our job, and we need to do it and do it to the best of our ability.
Yes, sir, they should, but thank goodness you're paying attention.
They don't. You know, there's problems out there that, whether it's through neglect, whether it's through ignorance, or whether it's through something deliberate. We need to get to the bottom of it and make sure that our elections are sacred as they should be.
Absolutely. Amen. Well, we appreciate all the work you're doing on the election integrity. I want to shift gears real quick. Recently, we had a hearing here in Craven County before the county commissioners on a resolution to change our school board races from nonpartisan to partisan and to district only. So
that's very interesting, Rick, because I just had a conversation on that today.
Oh, good.
With the people in bill drafting. I've actually been working on this legislation for a few weeks. I had actually started on it before I got your resolution because I knew it was coming. And here's what we find out. First of all, the county itself has switched back and forth, partisan, nonpartisan, several times over the years. But one of the changes was to how your districts were to be set up. And I got bad news, guys. Legislative analysis tells me your districts are not set up according to the laws that were passed by the General Assembly.
Wow.
Well, why don't we just redo them? Yeah.
Well, so that's actually what we're working on.
So are you telling me we don't have a valid school board right now?
Well... So, yeah, that's pretty much the case.
Okay, that's good news. Interesting.
That's good bad news.
It's kind of interesting because I've got a similar situation in Beaufort County, but let me finish with yours.
Okay.
So, Craven County, they had some districting set up. What you're doing right now, to my understanding, is not what was the intent of the General Assembly on the last effort that set your redistricting up. In addition to changing to partisan, we also have to fix your district problem. So they're working with your Board of Elections down there to figure out what we need to do up here so that I can submit correcting legislation to get us where we need to be.
Great.
So next week we'll have what we call a PCS, which is a proposed committee substitute, to give you the partisan elections. And that bill will start to work its way through committee. But once we finalize our research, there will be an additional committee substitute to fix the districts so that you can work within the parameters that you should have had to begin with. So there's a couple problems there. Here's the funny thing and why I mentioned Beaufort County. Beaufort County for years has been under the assumption that they could not change the way the people in Beaufort County vote. Well, in trying to fix that, I found out that bill had actually been passed in 1998.
Uh-huh.
And that the people of Beaufort County have had to. So here's what's happening, and I'm finding there's legislation being passed in regard to elections that evidently is not being filtered down to the appropriate authorities at the county or district levels to make sure that these things are put into effect. So that is another whole problem that we've got to make sure we have some methodology of resolving as we move forward. Your county, I don't know how long the bill dates back to where it was done for Craven County. In my county, in Beaufort County, that was all the way back to 1998.
Wow.
And here we sit with the people saying, hey, we want to change the way we vote. Well, they could have.
Or could it be that it filtered down and they just chose to ignore it? I mean,
well, and that may be. I would hope that's not the case. I don't think it is. And in fact, interestingly enough, the representative that passed that legislation thought it had been killed by another member. He thought it had been killed by Zeno Edwards. And in fact, that bill was passed and just it's been sitting there being ignored.
Wow. Well, you answered my question. I was just going to ask you if you had gotten the resolution yet, but thanks for all the good news. Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair. Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think E70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory, come for the thoughtful advice. E70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swanspur, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
You know how you feel when your hair looks great? Why not have that feeling regularly? You can if you let Kristen Toller be your secret weapon. Kristen is one half of the dynamic duo at Creative Hair by Patsy. They cut hair for both men and women, and they understand that one style does not fit all. Each person has some styles that look great, while others would be not so great. And as for the question to color or not to color, only you can answer that. But if you decide you want the lift a bit of color can add, you're in good hands with Kristen. She's great with color. So go ahead, give Kristen a call at 252-636-5741 and book an appointment. That's 636-5741. You know you want to do it.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we're talking about election integrity with Major Dave Getz and Representative Keith Kidwell. Let's switch gears again real quick. May 18th is the third Tuesday of the month, which is our regular public meeting, and our meeting is our annual Back to Blue event. And we're bringing in Sheriff Asa Buck, Chip Hughes, and Chris Davis from Pamlico, Craven, and Carteret counties, along with the New Bern Police Chief. They've issued or given us recommendations for outstanding personnel that need to be recognized, and we're going to do that as we do every year. And just wanted to extend you an invitation. If you're available that night and can come down for that event, I'd love to have you. But on that topic, are there any bills that you're aware of that are being pushed in to defund the police here in North Carolina?
No, because I'd walk all over that.
Thank you.
Okay, so, well, I know you would, but I was just wondering if there was any coming from other sources that may be trying to push that agenda here in North Carolina.
Yeah, I've not seen anything to that effect. There wouldn't be a snowball's chance that anything like that would get passed in the General Assembly. No, I can tell you the Freedom Caucus would come out strongly against any effort to that effect whatsoever.
That's good.
That's good. So you've got over 30 members in the Freedom Caucus now.
Yeah, I don't know the actual count. The last time I did a count of the people, and I just did have some new ones join up recently, we're somewhere between 25 and 30 members. So we've got nearly half of the Republican caucus as members. And the best part about this is it's a very active organization. We meet every week religiously, typically on Wednesdays at noon. They are very, very interesting and lively meetings, I'll call them. And we have good impact on the bills when we go to leadership and say, guys, the Freedom Caucus is against this. And here's the interesting thing. I've now had several members come to us and seek pre-approval of the Freedom Caucus before they run legislation. And that's the effect we want to have.
Wow,
you know, we want people coming to us saying, hey, how do I get this bill into a situation that it's actually identifying and fixing problems rather than starting new ones?
That's terrific.
It is. Hey. It's very good news. Dave, you back?
Rick, can I second?
Yes.
Representative Kidwell, I'd invite you to stop by and see your colleague, Pat McElwain.
Okay.
I was at her office today. And she said she was not a member of the Freedom Caucus, but should be.
I will go by and see her as soon as, well, probably, I think she's probably gone home for the week. I don't think her committees are meeting tomorrow. I've got a couple meetings, and then I'll be heading back home tomorrow afternoon. But I will definitely get up with her at the next very next opportunity.
Melissa.
Hey,
thank
guys.
Thank you so much.
Just want to ask you a question about where I'm going to go back to the voter integrity and the election laws. We're having some really big, what I mean, I think with the Georgia law that was passed and for the president to come out and say that it was Jim Crow on steroids was, I think, incredibly insulting to the people who lived through the Jim Crow era. That's my personal opinion, but it took me a long time to get a direct answer on why getting an ID to vote, why voter requirement, ID requirement was racist. And I finally got an answer to that, and it's ridiculous. But I'd like to know, why is purging the voter rolls? Why is that? I keep hearing that is discrimination and disproportionately affects minorities. And my understanding is purging the rolls is to get rid of, you know, people who are dead, people who don't live in the state anymore. You know, am I missing something? How is that racist?
So I think the term purging is probably, I don't know. I don't want to say aggressive term, but you know, let's just call it what it is. We need to update and keep updated our voter rolls.
Bingo.
So, you know, let's the left is very big on taking words and using them against us. So let's just go with updating. I don't think there should ever be a question that our rolls need to be kept up to date on a regular, ongoing basis. That should be an absolute no-brainer. on the Georgia laws and how the president referred to those as Jim Crow on steroids. You know, a couple things. The left constantly has to go play the race card. Mm-hmm. If Mr. President, if you want to play the race card, you know, he's a lot older than I am. He was probably around when some of these laws were still on the books. What did he do about getting rid of the Jim Crow laws that were actually introduced by his party?
Yeah, he reinforced them.
Yeah.
Well, and there you go. That's exactly the point. So don't sit here and throw up in my face the laws that your party wrote when you were probably very close to the people that wrote those laws and continue to reelect them. So, you know, let's not do that right off the bat. All right. Second thing is, his very own home state has more restrictive laws. Delaware has more restrictive voter laws than Georgia does.
Absolutely.
Okay?
It's true. Yes.
So don't sit here, Mr. President, if those are Jim Crow laws, go home and fix your Jim Crow laws.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Because you have shorter periods of time, you have voter ID, you have all the things that you complained about in Georgia right in your home state of Delaware. So maybe you need to go back and look at what's happening at home before you start pointing accusatory fingers at other people.
Right.
I'm really glad that you brought that up. The Major League Baseball, who canceled the big game that was in Georgia, you know, in New York, where they're going back, the laws are tougher than the Georgia laws that were passed. The laws that are on the book are worse than, you know,
well,
the Georgia
law
that were
passed. Let's take that even a step further. How many of these people will go and play in China?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Let's talk about their voter laws. Oh, wait a minute. Do they even have any?
Okay, well, folks, we're running out of time here, so we got to wrap it up. Again, I want to thank both of you gentlemen, Dave Goetz and Keith Kidwell, for joining us today. And keep up the good work. You're both doing excellent things out there.
Great
and
job.
We appreciate having you as watchdogs and representatives.
We all do.
All right. Well, that's all the time.
Always glad to be with you.
Glad to have you. That's all the time we have for today's show. Please tune in again next week for CCTA Wake Up Call. And don't forget, May 18th, Back to Blue event, 7 o'clock, Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern. It's free. It's open to the public. We invite all of you to come and participate. And we may have some of our representatives there if they're not in session, and you'll be able to mingle with them also.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.